Well, I guess we're live here, folks. I was waiting for my theme music. Didn't hear it. Welcome to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 18th on the West Coast, now February the 19th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Lots of folks are listening to us tonight. I know Wind Talkers Radio Network is listening to us, as well as blogtalkradio.com, so we want to say hello, good day to those folks, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world. And we're going to be talking about a number of recent news items to come our way. It seems like it just doesn't stop. We have to have some traumatic event that's got the attention of the whole world, certainly our nation. And in between, we get little vignettes of Tiger Woods coming out of the closet now regarding his marital indiscretions and infidelities. It's ridiculous what's going on in this world. Still, we're going to be talking about two plane crashes, one that occurred yesterday involving three people associated with the Tesla Motor Company, and then the recent event today of a man by the name of Joe Stack, who took out his frustrations on the IRS building in Austin, Texas. And I have read Mr. Stack's suicide note, and I can tell you that he appears to be, or appeared to have been, a very rational person. I'm not saying that I condone committing suicide by any sense of or any stretch of the imagination. Yet I found nothing in what he had written except truth and a general disgust for the corruption that goes on. And we talk about it quite a bit on our show. I don't recommend that anyone go out and kill themselves. That's not the way to handle it. But certainly he was hoping that his last and lonely act had enough of an impact to awaken some people from their slumber. So with that, I want to bring on tonight's guest. He is a regular here on Evident Footprints this month on every Thursday. He has his own radio show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. It's called A Marine's Disquisition, and if you haven't been to visit his website, you must go to amd.elequity.com and visit the host of that website, former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, my good friend Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. But I thought we just hung up the phone a few minutes ago. Wasn't today the 11th? Wasn't the day the 11th as we closed off, and then all of a sudden it's the 19th?
It seems like it, doesn't it?
That's about how it's been feeling to me all week.
Yes. Well,
I appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk to the audience and let them know that Don Nikoloff is the what I refer to as the Thomas Paine of the 21st century, because he does not only do a radio show, he does writings and brings forth information that we can use, those of us that are in this fight of fighting a government that is so despotic that we ourselves in the Informational Freedom Network worldwide are finding it hard to believe that people out there believe what many of us call the mainstream press with their disinformational information. We don't have a free press anymore, Don, and I appreciate you doing your articles, because everything that you place on your website, directlightproductions.com, allows us to reference it. And, hey, you know, if I can find four or five people out there saying there's got to be some truth, and every once in a while a glimmer of hope comes out and we're told that there's more to these stories. A man doesn't fly a plane into the side of an IRS building for nothing. A man in Ohio doesn't bulldoze his home down for nothing. What is the warning shot on the aircraft that went down in California with Tesla Motors individuals? We have problems, Don, and Americans are doing what they do best. If they can't find a group to join in to find a solution, they say, okay, well, I'm dead anyway. I'm not going to let them take it, let these evil, neurotic, despotic individual banking system, et cetera, take what I've got left. And they formally, basically, do exactly what the Japanese internment camp members did 69 years ago. That is peacefully committing suicide. People just forget about all these things, Don, and it's time that Americans get told the full truth.
Yeah. Well, these are two certainly different events, and yet you have the same beast in the background, and it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Here you have a new technology, an electric car that comes out, something that is determined to be a cost cutter, something more friendly for the environment, and certainly a challenge to the status quo, a challenge to the petroleum industry, a challenge to an absolutely failing automotive industry, and that a few individuals can make something work shows how corrupt the system is. And I'm speaking of the Tesla case. Now, this other case in Austin.
Can I mention something before we go forward?
Or no, you're not allowed.
Bring it all together?
You're not allowed on this show. No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to pull my can of spray Pam out and spray the mic there.
Go ahead.
The Tesla aircraft going down took down a senior electrical engineer, Doug Bourne, who lived there in Santa Clara. The 42-year-old senior interactive electronic manager for Tesla Motors, Brian Finn, was also aboard. Doug Bourne was not only the owner of the plane and the pilot, he was the electrical engineer, as I said, and the other electrical engineer for Tesla Motors was Andrew Ingram, who lived in Palo Alto, California, and the son of a former United States Marine that served with me 60 years ago. Finn lived in Clark Court, near where the plane crash was. And I want the audience to know that there's something fishy on this. Ingram has called me, and he's personally has in his portfolio the name, address, and phone number of 10 investigators who are going to look into this plane crash that the government said that it was just an accident.
Yeah, I'm hoping, in fact, I had a email exchange with Field McConnell today. I'm hoping that David Hawkins and Field McConnell exercise their investigative chops and do some investigating on this, too. They have been following many of the major plane crashes, and they've uncovered the fact that there are all kinds of secret insurance scams being run behind the scenes. People have these policies on their heads that they're not aware of. And I would like to be able to get their viewpoint on this whole thing. Now, if you can make sure you are close to your mic, too, Drew, I'm getting word from the engineer that you could be a little bit louder.
How loud does he want me to get?
That's good. That's good. You can talk relaxed now. Yeah, the mic's nice and close. All right.
I'm not upset. I'm not going off the deep end. I'm just I've got my barbecue pit over here. We're going to take the Mad Hatter and put him over here and barbecue the SOB.
Well, I know. You know what? You have every right to be mad too. I said this on the show last night with Ingrid Castle. You know, we're mad about a lot of things. We're mad that every time somebody reveals some truth or leads mankind to something that's going to create a higher quality of life for the masses, they have to throw something in the works to foul it up. And people have to, they have to really take it to heart and determine if they're going to put up with it anymore. I tell you, I'm sick of it, and I know you are.
Oh, big time. I mean, we have Joe Stark down in Texas who's attacked by the Internal Revenue Service. They won't work with him. They won't do anything in solution. His frustration finally comes to a head. And, you know, there's no place for him to go. Where, you know, what's he going to do? He has nothing left. On my news and views tomorrow, I have, today and yesterday, I brought out on my own show the happer stance of the Tesla, plane crash as within minutes of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, today, on my news and views today, I had the article links. On tomorrow's news and views, I'm actually having the links for the gentleman up in Ohio that bulldozed his home that he built, that he had a $160,000 mortgage on, found a buyer to buy the home. Out of the bankruptcy, Ohio is one of those states that the bankruptcy laws do not protect the man's home, nor does the state laws, much like in California or in Florida and Louisiana and Arkansas. Your home is protected in the bankruptcy, as Texas is as well, protected in the foreclosure. There's 8 states out there that that in a bankruptcy proceedings, you can't take the man's home. Even the IRS can't take the man's home in the state of Florida or Texas. But in Ohio, they can, and the man just was really frustrated. So he borrowed $160,000 in 1990, had been paying on the house. Things went sour, went into the bankruptcy court, and all of a sudden the bank gets the value of the home. They get the actual asset of the home in the foreclosure bankruptcy proceedings, and the house was, he only owes $140,000, and he brings a buyer to the table to sell the house for $170,000. Pay off the penalties, legal fees, which have now escalated to $160,000, pay the house off and pay off the IRS lien on the house, and the bank says, no, we don't want the money because the appraisal of this beautiful home is $350,000 and we could get more money out of it. Undeserved money, Don.
Yeah.
And so the man, he's frustrated. He goes down to the local business that rents heavy equipment, rents a bulldozer, and takes down the house. And on my news and views tomorrow, I've got not only the audio, the written link, I also have the video link where the man is heard saying at the end of the video clip on News 5 there in Ohio that, I built this up from scratch. This small community did not have this home. I took raw land, my own skill, my own family built this beautiful home, and because it's mine, if they want to take it away, I'm going to let them have it. They can have it all exactly the way I found it when I came here 22 years ago. And he bulldozed this $350,000 appraised value home by the bank. Obviously, I think one of the bank presidents or vice presidents was a little jealous, so they thought they'd just go ahead and take the guy's house, and one of them would end up with it. Well, they're going to end up with it right now. They can have it all day long. The pictures plainly show a pile of rubble with a dust of snow all over it. they're continuing to go forth on another building that he built, that's his his bathtub and breakfast business that he is a remodeler and retailer of bathroom fixtures. Mm-hmm. And the bank is now going after that. And he's sitting there very calmly behind his desk and says, well, if they come and take this, I'll just do the same thing. This place was a big vacant lot, and nobody wanted it. I picked it up for 60 cents on the dollar because of the constant water seepage. I came in and took care of the water seepage system. People can drive up and get water for free. It spurts out of an artesian well, but it doesn't affect the land anymore. And I got a nice bill. If they want this, I'll just bulldoze it, and they can have this exactly the way I took it 22 years ago. Well, frustration, Don.
Yeah, you know, this whole thing, this is over usury credit. Obviously, the house is worth more than anything the bank gave them, because whatever they gave them out of thin air. They didn't give them anything for it. That's the whole ruse of the mortgage system.
And there are 8 states in the union that have usury laws to protect the citizens, and Arkansas happens to be one, Texas happens to be one, and the most famous is Florida. Everybody remembers O.J. Simpson losing his financial civil case for the death of his former wife, and the wife's family was unable to touch his $5 million estate and its contents in Florida pursuant to Florida law protecting the family home. Here in Arkansas, something very similar is there. As long as your notes are caught up, they can't take your home and your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is another one. But people are frustrated about the tax liens. Here in Arkansas, the IRS cannot come in and take your house for outstanding taxes and sell it and then give you money back. That they won't let you do it. Same in Texas. But across America, in the states that aren't protecting the people, the war drums are beating, and people are losing their homes. And the frustrations, sadly, Joe Stark in Texas took his own life. The situation with Tesla Motor, was Tesla Motor, was that some kind of a warning shot, shot over the bow of Tesla Motors to say, you're moving too fast, you're destroying our oil production by bringing forth the possibilities of electric cars in the very near future? Electric cars, ladies and gentlemen, they should have been. They were manufactured in 1908. There were more cars on the highway of 8,000 cars on the highway in America, ladies and gentlemen. 5,500 plus were electric cars in 1908. That left less than 3,000 cars on the highway that run off of petroleum products. So. The bottom line, even Henry Ford was looking to use hemp oil to run his Model T Ford mass-produced, and the oil companies came in and made him a deal. So what do we have today? Tesla Motors did not want to deal with the oil industry. And I personally feel, Don, that a shot has been shot over the bow of Tesla Motors. It's the truth. It's just in the what's going to happen over the next 6 months.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they've been doing this to anybody that's come out with any kind of invention that's superior to what the mainstream automotive manufacturers have been able to pull together. And with our money, all these billions of dollars that they've been given, you know, these guys are doing this on their own. They're not getting help from the government. They're not, and they're not stealing money from anybody either. You know, it's evident what's going on. A jackass can figure that out.
Especially when you got a young man about 35 to 40 years old up in the state of Oregon, who took a 1976 Nova. That he picked up at the junkyard because the body was in excellent condition. The motor was gone. He takes the Nova, has it towed home, cost him $200, puts an electric motor, and then turns around and develops an all-electric car that he takes to the racetrack and literally on a drag racetrack outruns the most sophisticated, the most powerful cars at the stock car races, not once, not twice, every weekend, week in and week out for 6 months. It's on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. It's evidence is there. But all of a sudden, I can't even get in touch with him, and I called him on the phone getting his phone number. Has he gotten too popular? But if this kid can do this in Oregon with his own personal money, Don, what would, you know, if the government of the United States is giving Chrysler, Ford, GMC, Chevrolet Corporation, billions of dollars, what do you think would happen if the United States government, the men in Congress would say, wait a minute, we'll bail these people out for all these massive jobs, but you want to close down the Chrysler plant there in Fulton, Missouri? Fine, close it down. We'll turn it over to Tesla Motors and let them put out an electric car that can be put out for under $20,000. And all of a sudden, you know, we don't need gasoline anymore. Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that we need lubricants like oil. We still have to have lubricants for the ball bearings. Okay? Oil's not totally lost. But are we getting any kind of investment? We could be running our homes, Don, on electrical generators running off of water. Every home in America could have a hydrogen generator running out beside the side of their house, just like an air conditioner.
Oh yeah,
and it's only a matter of money to bring the technology that we know of that exists and put it to a point where every home in America could have its own hydrogen plant right there by the house, running all the electricity that the house could possibly need, no electrical wires running up and down the highway, no telephone poles running up and down the highway. An ice storm comes in, and people could just bundle up at home and say, okay, well, that's fine. We're here. The roads would be impassable, but the hydrogen electrical generator could furnish all the power that the family would need to keep the house warm, keep the lights on, keep the refrigerator running, the stove running, the dryer running. And so what? Who cares if it's 45 inches or 54 inches of snow on the ground and the roads are impassable? If you're at home and you've got your own food stored up a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months, if if the snow's going to be gone, it may take a week or 10 days, it may take a month. But at some point, you're buttoned up in your house. You don't have to worry about the power lines being down like they have been in Washington, D.C., or a major ice storm knocking out the power for 200,000 homes in Pennsylvania, and the people literally being without power now for 10 days. The technology's there, Don, and American people are being lied to, shoved in the corner, and made servant and slave to a despotism of government.
Yes. Now, Drew, I don't want to stop what you're talking about here. I had every intention of playing some audio from one of our favorite speakers.
Please! Oh, boy, all right! I know who that is!
Hang on. And then we have a call from Gail in Tennessee afterwards, and I know Gail's going to be on for a few minutes. So I want to play this first, Gail, and then we'll get to your call. And
women should come first, Dale. Don?
Well, I have to do it this way.
Okay.
Because we'll be rolling for a while with Gail, I'm sure. Okay? I want to make sure I get this in. All right? You'll recognize the voice.
I already know who it is.
I am James David Madden, senior pastor of the Outlaw World Missionary Church in Harlem, New York. I'm also the originator of the Columbia Obama trial scheduled for the 14th of May, the year 2010. Due to the growing threatening circumstances surrounding this trial, I must now release the full transcript we wish to present, document, and prove at the Columbia Obama trial later this year. Obama was recruited in 1980 by the CIA while a student at Occidental College in Los Angeles, California. The CIA needed Muslims who were fluent in Farsi and other Islamic customs and understandings. Obama was perfect as an undercover agent. The CIA then later enlisted Columbia University to extend his foreign student program to Barack Hussein Obama that he might enroll in the universities around Karachi and in Pakistan, and also the Patrice Lumumba School in Moscow. With a perfect cover and the U.S. student identity, Obama became the lead agent in the arms and money supply to the struggling Taliban army against the Soviet war machine. Obama's cover was flawless and his skills as an agent incredible. He was more than integral to the Taliban victory later on that decade. Now, I will be presenting documentation to all that I say here in this announcement. But it is public knowledge that Obama traveled to Pakistan in 1981. We don't know how often he traveled between Pakistan and Russia, or his return to America and back to Pakistan and back to Columbia University off and on during his undercover operation in Afghanistan, training and being a money supply and source and interpreter for the CIA to the Taliban during those war years. The State Department or the State Department of Records have been scrubbed. The State Department records, pardon me, have been scrubbed, and the State Department employee who scrubbed these records was killed to cover up the passport office break-in in April of 2008. His name was Lieutenant Quarrel Harris, a young African-American who was found shot dead in front of the Judah House of Praise Baptist Church in Northeast Washington, D.C. Obama learned his Islamic language skills while he spent 6 years in Indonesia with his stepfather and mother, Lolo Shatoro. When he returned from his CIA assignment in the mid-80s, he pressured the State Department to allow him to enter Harvard Law School. He excelled at Harvard, became the editor of the Law Review, where upon his graduation could have become Court Justice Clerk, or a multi-million dollar salary would have been offered to him at America's best law firms, except for one thing. He did not have a legitimate background as a citizen or a student from Occidental or Columbia University. A diligent investigation by a personnel agency of a major law firm before hiring Obama would have revealed that he was not a U.S. citizen. And how could a C student go from Occidental College to America's fifth most difficult school to enter into, Columbia University, and then from there, 3 years later, enter into the world's most difficult law school, Harvard Law School? And so what must a former CIA operative do when he cannot pass the personnel test? Obama becomes a community organizer on the south side of Chicago where no background check was needed. His marriage to Michelle Robinson, a lawyer and connected Chicago politician, albeit a convenient marriage, now gives him citizenship and the beginning of a solid background. He takes a job at the same law firm where Michelle Robinson becomes his trainer and supervisor, a law firm that is heavily influenced by a small-time criminal named Tony Resco. Michelle Robinson again controls the personnel records. His hiring takes place without a hitch. When questions were raised during the 2008 campaign for presidency about his Columbia years, he spun those questions and the media by declaring himself to be an ascetic, a monk, even a hermit, going days on end without speaking or interacting with anyone, and he did not live on campus with the regular Columbia College students. Today, Obama is a man who loves the limelight and can hardly tear himself away from any camera that he passes by, wants us to now believe that he was once a monk, a hermit, with no interaction with anyone. Michael Wolff, former MTA chairman and graduate of Columbia, says, and I quote, he remembers Obama as a very, very smart student and a great debater while he was at Columbia, and he was very active in student activities. Now, it appears that Michael Wolff remembers things about Obama that Obama does not remember about himself. Fox News, during the 2008 campaign and questions were raised about Obama's Columbia years, interviewed more than 400 people on campus during the years of 1980 to 1984. Students, nurses, librarians, custodians, people within the environs, shopkeepers alike. And they discovered in their investigation of the 400 people they questioned, not one of the 400 people remembers Barack Hussein Obama during his alleged Columbia years. The Reagan-Bush administration and the Bush 43 administration, they all know this about Obama as a CIA operative and his help to win the war there for the Taliban in Afghanistan during the Russian invasion. They just did not expect Obama to win the Iowa caucus. When he won that, there was no way they could assassinate him, remove him from the scene. They had to allow him to march over the Clintons and over John McCain that he might be the president for whatever information he now holds or interaction he holds with the Soviet Union and over the American people as a threat. We as a government and as a people are being held hostage by this former CIA operative, Barack Hussein Obama, who has heavy, heavy Muslim beliefs, Marxist politics, and has an intense hatred for this nation called America. Now, at the trial on the 14th of May, I will document all of these statements that are not general public knowledge that I have stated today, when the trial is finally enjoined. But as stated previously, I must, because of growing threatening circumstances, present my case to the American people now. I'm James David Manning, senior pastor of the Outlaw World Missionary Church in Harlem, and also the host of the Manning Report.
Well, there you heard it, straight from Pastor James David Manning. Not from Drew Malone Raines III, nor from myself, Don Nikoloff. Before we go into a discussion on this, Drew, as promised, I want to invite Gail from Tennessee onto the show. She's been waiting patiently. Gail, how are you this evening?
I'm trying to pick my jaw up off the floor.
Well, okay? did I distract
Dan,
your
give me a minute
your
to regain my composure here. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to get off this phone call and make this go viral. And that I will. By morning, it's going to be everywhere. When did he give this this little speech?
It was very, very recently. Very, very recently. And I actually...
God, I hope this man makes it to May.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get permission to post it on my site. I really don't see a problem because I want to get the word out, but I do have...
Well, that's what he's wanting too, you know, and this is in light of our world today. When you have this kind of information, the quicker it becomes public, the safer you are.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's touching upon many things, Gail, that I wrote in my Three Stooges Go to Washington series. Of course, mm-hmm. I was much more detailed on some specifics, such as the nature of the phony documentation and the nature of the phony photographs that were intended to support the phony documentation. One cannot be phony and the other be real. It just doesn't work that way.
As you
well know, if you use a modicum of common sense. And it was that thought process that led me to really seriously investigate the photographs that were coming out. And boy, are they filled with anomalies, let me tell you.
You know, there's one thing I don't understand, though, in what he was just saying, is that they didn't anticipate him winning the Ohio caucus. And what... So they had to let him mow over Clinton and McCain and all of them. What were they in fear of? You know, the question has to be posed here. What were they afraid of by if they had stopped him dead in his tracks, pardon the pun, from proceeding any further towards the White House? Why did they feel that since he did win that, they had to go full force and back him all the way? You know,
well, they're saying he won it, but someone was able to pull off a coup with the voting machines is how I see it. I don't see anything that occurred in this election as representative of how the people actually voted. That is my conviction. It's been the case a number of times. I got a congratulatory card from Bush over 20 years ago, and I never voted for the sucker. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And I got a congratulatory
mm-hmm.
card. You think they didn't mess with the ballots back then?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's been going on for a long time.
I'm just trying to respond. First of all, that the issue probably had everything to do with the rampant financial corruption that's going on, the theft
mm-hmm.
of trillions of dollars, and intimate
mm-hmm.
knowledge that was known in that regard. Also, probably Obama's people probably had a laundry list of all the people that the Bush-Clinton cabal had murdered.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
Not that they're exempt from that themselves and their associations with the Weather Underground. So do you want to...
Well, you know, there's also the case of Jeremiah Wright, the church that he was going to, and then all that fiasco blew up in their faces. And they had to distance themselves from Jeremiah because of his radical ideas. But, you know, there was two gay guys who were murdered that were in the choir. One was the leader of the choir, and the other one was I don't know the way they put it, was he was a close friend of the Obamas. And, of course, then you have this Larry Sinclair that through the whole campaign thing was coming on Rents Weekly talking about his escapades with Obama. And, you know, that even made it to one of those tabloid magazines here back in the summer about Larry Sinclair. Of course, he has a book. I don't know if he's, a plant, could be a special ops, a psyops guy or whatever. There's so many twists and turns to all of this. You just kind of have to step back and go, whoa, you know. But they do link something back to, shall we say, Obama's handlers. For these two gay guys that were murdered in an untimely fashion, both suicided. You know how that one goes. I think they were afraid that they
one
might
was
come
Donald Young. They announced his death before the police had announced it. They announced it in the church, and possibly in as many as two services. I wrote about that in my article. Despite the fact that they made Larry Sinclair take a lie detector test and tried to portray it as a failure, he passed that test.
When he
had a press conference in Washington, D.C. before the National Press Club, they had him arrested and taken to where?
I remember
Delaware.
That. Yep.
And who was the attorney general who had claimed there was a warrant for his arrest? Bo Biden.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yep.
Okay.
Well, Biden's daughter got busted for cocaine at some college frat party or whatever here back a year ago. I mean, the whole thing is so... off a little bit of topic, but still all on the same one. I mean, when you talk about politician bankers, you can throw them all in a bag and shake them up. Whatever one comes out, they're all the same. This housing crisis that we've been in a crisis mode with for a while now, I included am one of those that's bit the dust in that whole situation. I happen to be in Tennessee, as you know, and Tennessee is not homeowners' rights here. It's the state's rights. It's not like Florida, Texas, and a couple other states. That's why I'll never own another piece of property in this state as long as I live. I will rent because I didn't know it was like that. I couldn't get one attorney to take my case, and I have a solid case against this bank. I sent them thousands of dollars worth of money. They'd hold it for a month or two, and they'd send the checks back to me because they didn't want me to catch my house up. They strung me out for a year and a half on modifications. They had no intention of doing that. When you have a report comes out last month of Bank of America having over 200,000 mortgages and they only did temporary modifications for 98 of those homeowners, well, there's a whole picture in itself, isn't it? But
well, that's
get
a CIA
to the real
bank.
Meat of this story.
Yeah, that's a CIA bank.
Absolutely, I know. It's a Vatican bank, to be more specific.
Well, same thing. They paid the bills.
Absolutely.
Do you have a comment for Drew Lane?
What I wanted to say was these homes, I think a lot of people don't know this, but like I said, I did a lot of research on it, building the case that I couldn't. They won't let you go into court by yourself pro bono. When you take out a mortgage with a bank, lending institution, you sign that contract, right? And they always hear they start sending you this paperwork telling you you can get this mortgage insurance, you know, if you become disabled or, you know, or lose your job or whatever. I bet you didn't know that at the same time that you're offered that insurance policy on the mortgage, it's not on the home, it's on the mortgage itself, that the bank takes out an insurance policy on the mortgage too. So in the event that you default, the insurance company kicks in, but it has to be in 90 days arrear. The insurance company kicks in and pays the bank off. So now, when they come in and take your property, they've already been paid the amount of the loan that you the originating loan of whatever the balance is you owed. They were paid and compensated through that insurance policy they took out at date of signing of contract on that mortgage, and they now come in and take your property too. Boy, talk about double indemnity.
Mm-hmm.
That's
plus,
the truth.
Plus they're selling multiple contracts on derivatives and hedge funds, all hypothecated. Drew, do you want to comment on that?
Well, she's right on, 100%, especially about the payment. There is a little thing out there that most people don't understand. When you sign that the purchase of the home and that insurance clause is there, you're signing a uniform commercial code contract. And under the Uniform Commercial Code in Arkansas, it's Title IV. In Colorado, it's also Title IV. In Tennessee, I believe it's Title IX or X. In Louisiana, it's Title IX. And the Uniform Commercial Code specifically has a little caveat that in there, the bank bought a insurance policy, and they're paid off. But they have to sue for the insurance company to retrieve the money the insurance company paid the bank off. And what they do is turn everything over to a lawyer and the lawyer doesn't have anything to go on except the bank's word that you're 90 days in the rear, and rears are, and they come after your property in a foreclosure action, and this is what's been upsetting the apple cart in Ohio, when an astute pro bono individual went in and got literally walked the walk, talked the talk of the legal profession, and the judge heard the entire pleading and then threw the case out in favor of the individual because the lawyer for the bank and the insurance company could not produce the actual documents showing that they had a vested interest into this property as filed in the county courthouse. As of this moment, there are over 3,000 homeowners in Ohio in possession of their homes that have been foreclosed on, and lawyers in Ohio are really real reluctant to file lawsuits to foreclose on property because they take these cases only on a win situation. They don't get a dime up front. They don't get a dime until the house is foreclosed on and the deed is cleaned up. Repeat, the deed is now cleaned up by court order. And when the lawyer has the property cleaned up by court order, turning the property back to the bank signs it over to the insurance company cuts a check for the number of hours of fee that the lawyer puts forth, and this is how the lawyers get the money and why you see all these foreclosure lawyers out there foreclosing, because people don't know how to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right on, Gail, right on, 100%. You're being shafted, you're being stuffed in a bottle, and you're being
uh-huh.
corked.
The main thing here, Drew, is that the owner, the mortgagee, we'll say, has borrowed this money, and they don't have the copy of this document that
Correct.
The bank and the insurance company are using against them.
Correct. And then under the laws of every state in the union, pursuant to discovery, depending on what state has the discovery laws, under the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, it is Rule 26 through 35, the pleading, when you demand these documents, they have to be presented, and a lot of people in the past never demanded to produce the documents and then follow through with the constant notice of discovery, to the judge and allowing and fighting the judge on the premise that he cannot dismiss the trial because there's no hope for the homeowner to produce anything, and they call that summary judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those little things that you have to fight hard to overcome summary judgment. And the summary judgment laws were introduced by bankster lawyers and the mm-hmm. judicial system to shaft the common citizen in a legal form of going after property and allowing them to cork or take an individual, put them in a bottle, and cork them. So mm-hmm. because the judge is part of the system. The judges are part of the evil.
Thank you.
He's the banker.
Thank you.
The judge is the banker.
That's right.
And they
work hand in hand. You can't get lawyers to go up against the banks. You can't get the judges to side with the people. I mean, it's so rigged. Now, have you guys ever heard of a clearinghouse called MERS? MERS.
That's MERS. MERS. National Clearinghouse for foreclosed
That's
property.
That's all of the derivatives houses where they sliced and diced them and sold them on the derivative
that's
market.
That's the company that holds the insurance, babe.
Mm-hmm. And that's those are the mortgage pass through accounts
that's right. And if your name is listed on there or the property address, they don't have any copies of your original mortgage paper.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
They're shredded.
They don't have any, and they don't even know where it is.
They do not. No. They claim they're on microfiche and produce it, but they can't. So, I was just wanting to talk about that. Not that it's done me any good in this state. I just gave up and said, whatever, guys. Have at it.
Oh, I got, sweetheart, you're not the only one. It's the fortunate son of Ohio, the reason he won was because the judge was not a Mason.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know, my father's a Mason, and on the Dole side, they're all Masons, so I guess that still don't count anything for me, does it? Not that I would ask.
Well,
anyway.
A Mason at the first, second, third, fourth, fifth degree, those are just good old boys. They're out there thinking that they're doing something with the Shriner organization to take care of kids. Once they get into the sixth, seventh, and eighth, they start learning the fact that this is a satanic ritual. And by the time they get to the 33rd, they have sold their soul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think that's interesting that you bring that up, because my father, like I said, has been a Mason now for probably 15 years. He was finally invited after his brother passed. And he was telling me here last year that he was invited to go on up higher to become a Shriner, which I guess is the next level up. He didn't stay with that very long, and he won't tell me why. He decided just to stay with the Masons. But when I try to have discussions with him about what the real core of that whole secret society is, he absolutely just brushes me off and says, that's not true. I say, how do you know? You haven't went up the ranks. How do you know? You don't. But perhaps you need to know. And anything that's done in secret can't be for the good of humanity. I'll leave you gentlemen with that this evening.
Well, Gail, thanks for your call. And do call again. I hope we covered the topic in a proper way. I know Drew did.
Yeah. I don't know anything. I'm just a real estate broker.
Well, your comments on Pastor Manning's speech, Drew, in our remaining few minutes here.
Well, I found the movie from his primary website, the CIA Columbia Obama cover up,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be using that tomorrow on my show as well. I want to let you know right up front, I understand where Gail's coming from when she said she's picking her jaw up off the floor after listening to that. There's a lot of information there, Gail, and to the listening audience, Dr. David James Manning. James David Manning is a black man. He's fed up with the lies and cover up. He's been on this, on my show. He's been on your show. He's been on several other blog talk shows. He's been on four Wind Talker programs hosted by internationally outside the country. And he's being sought after by talk show hosts out there that have learned the truth and what he had to say right here. Yeah, I kind of stand with Gail. We have to pray for Dr. Manning to make sure he makes it to May when they are planning to do this trial.
Yeah, he brought up some interesting points, too. You know, Obama presents himself as a hermit, yet if you read his book or any excerpts of his book, he describes himself as hanging out with these guys out in the alley, talking to his Puerto Rican friends, about the gunfire that they're hearing. So again, we have just more lies, and we're to forget the lies. These claims that he belonged to this church in Chicago for 20 years are totally unfounded. There wasn't enough of a time period for him to have been at that church for 20 years, and yet the media still parrots that. In fact, if you were to start him at the time he claims he joined the church, it's still not 20 years. Yet he had 20 years worth of parking tickets at Somerville, Massachusetts. 20 years those tickets stood out there. Any of us would have been in jail and severely fined and probably beaten up by the cops in the process. And he got away with it. Someone could just come in from his campaign and just pass it off as, oh, well, everybody has tickets. There, not hundreds of dollars worth of tickets for actually it was over 17 years the time. He actually had those tickets longer than he went to the church in Chicago.
Here's one for you. You have a outstanding tickets in Louisiana or Arkansas, and you're black, and you haven't paid them off in 3 years. 90 days before that 3 years comes up, a bench warrant goes out for your arrest. Period. Bottom line. And they come looking for you. And then you do go to jail. So, this is it. And we're not talking about they look for you in Arkansas. They look for you in all 50 states. And they come after your posterior.
Mm-hmm. There were actually 8 tickets in one day.
Here's something that needs to be investigated. The date of those tickets, the time of those tickets, and then what was going on around the world that possibly Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sorrento, was at. And here's another thing. Does anybody out there remember Cassius Clay? Does anybody out there know who Cassius Clay is today? Those of you that are under 40 probably, what's Cassius Clay have to do with this? And who in the heck is Cassius Clay? You know?
You asking me, I'll answer that.
I'm asking you and I'm asking the audience just to think about it. Who Cassius Clay was and what did Cassius Clay do?
Well, he was a professional boxer who actually won a gold medal at the Olympics as a light heavyweight, came into professional boxing with Angelo Dundee as his trainer manager, captured the heavyweight title from Sonny Liston in his first defense against anybody of Ali.
It wasn't a defense, it's a first attack to take the world heavyweight championship.
Well, I'm saying Liston's defense of the title.
Oh, Liston's defense of the title.
Liston lost that fight, and shortly after, Cassius Clay became a conscientious objector to the war in Vietnam.
And
he changed his name and his religion from Christian to Muslim.
Muslim.
And changed his name to Muhammad Ali.
And here we are today.
From him.
We have Barry Sorrento, whatever. Sorrento, so whatever. Barry Sorrento. We have Barry Sorrento out there. And what does Barry do? Somewhere along the line, he changes his name. He takes up the Muslim religion. And he changes his name after he becomes a Muslim to Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, everybody that I know that right now that I've worked with a professor of law, and the name looks like or comes anywhere close to an Islamic name, I double check and I find the real name of the individual, and I inform my illustrious colleague, and we back up and we don't help the person because they're not an American citizen anymore. They've given up their rights to Jesus Christ. They've given up their rights to everything. They've walked over to the Muslim and they've changed their name, and they have become Barack Hussein Obama, for instance, as an example. He is not a Christian. He's not an American. He gave it all up, and he traveled to Pakistan and is admitted. He wrote it. He put it in a book.
He never
blatantly.
He never was an American. He never was one.
I think that the CIA, Columbia, Obama cover-up that the Honorable James David Manning has brought forth, it needs to go viral, as Gail says. Mm-hmm. And everybody out there needs to take a link to this radio show here on BBS Radio and pass it out and let people hear this show. And start networking. You can't just sit there on your posterior and talk to the like kind people, ladies and gentlemen. You got to talk to people that you know that think you're a nutcase, and you got to hammer it into them. It took me 6 years of hammering it into a friend's face of a problem that we were having, and all of a sudden a light bulb went off. I don't know what I gave him. I don't know what it was, but a light bulb came off, and he came over to my house, and he has been a sponge getting every possible thing he possibly could over this last week to 10 days. So that's what you got to do, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to network, educate others, and go viral with everything you possibly can. And you do what I do. Document everything that you talk about, just like Don Nikoloff does in his letters and posts. And I apologize, Don. I wanted to wish Don Harkins a happy birthday before we got into the show, and I forgot about it. Don Harkins' birthday was
yesterday. Today is his birthday. In fact, I told Ingrid last night, she was on the show, that tonight's show was going to be dedicated to him. And I should have announced that at the top of the show. But we're doing that now, so...
And Dan Harkin, I want you to know that you're
Don Harkin.
Don Harkin, you're the inspiration. Did I say Dan? I got Dan Howard on the mind. Don, you're the inspiration that has kept us all going. Even the part that you woke up, Mary Ann Ponder, who has done everything she could to unite a number of people. So you have to understand, Don, you didn't die in vain. You have left a legacy here with your newspaper and everything out there. God bless you, and one day we shall meet again.
Well, I thank you for that. I told Ingrid how much you enjoyed Don's work and how much respect you had for the paper and all the things he did. There's no greater contribution anyone can give to any kind of movement than the value of their life. And Don certainly gave his life to get the truth to people. The least people can do is respond to that and listen to that message. You know, and there's a lot of truth coming out right now, Drew, from the alternative media. The reason you see the things that are speeding up so rapidly happening is because they're fearful that people are going to wake up. That in and of itself is proof that we're doing the right thing.
Oh, yeah. And when you have visits from the FBI asking, how in the world are you paying your bills? Are you selling? What are you doing to pay your bills? We don't see people come into your house. You don't grow anything. We don't see you leaving your home. This happened to me yesterday. They want to know how I get, how I'm able to pay my electric bill, phone bill, gas bill, and I'll have a gas bill, and able to put food on the table. Ladies and gentlemen, I live off of the donations from my friends, and I want to tell you, it's been a very prosperous month for me. I've actually got all my bills paid, and I'm way ahead thanks to people like, Ken over in North Carolina and a big donation he sent to me, which he shouldn't have, because he has a wife and family. But he understood that the truth needs to go out there. And that's what these networks are out here doing. We all pay to be on the air and get the word out, or we own radio stations that barely bring enough money to pay our electric bills and phone bills. And you guys out there, y'all need to understand that there is a movement by the federal government utilizing a new group of men, a new organization that they call CAT. And this is a short for Critical Action Teams. And they're coming to a neighborhood, and I shouldn't say neighborhood, they're coming to an area right now, and you need to keep your eyeballs out. They're not going to be kicking in doors just yet, but they're going to be going after your bank accounts and disrupting your bank accounts and disrupting communications and disrupting contacts. and they even have the guts to come to your door, knock on it. How are you able to pay your bills? And my personal viewpoint to the officer was, none of your blank business. Can I help you?
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell, Drew. Well, listen, we're out of time. We got to say goodnight, but I want to thank you for your information and your insights into what's going on. You will be my guest next Thursday as well.
So I thought that was, you mean tomorrow? time's flying.
I know it is. It's flying. I want to wish you, you know, the best of luck with what you're doing on your show. Give your website out and tell people how to get to your show, if you would, before we say goodnight.
And to all the listeners around the world, it's the three W's. Alpha, Michael, Delta, Dot, Echo, Lima, the word equity, .com. That's AMD.ELEquity.com. And you can click on that day's performance and go directly to the show when it comes on at 2200 GMT. That's 2200 hour GMT. For those of you in America that don't understand GMT time, that works out to be 5 p.m. New York and 2 p.m. San Francisco. So we do a daily show for 2 hours Sunday through Friday. Sunday through Friday in the United States, Monday through Saturday down under. And I welcome anyone that wants to participate. You can call the show, you can listen in, and if you need to get in touch with me, I don't hide from that website is my phone number and my email address. And I don't mind telling you, my email address is my name, Drew, D-R-E-W, Rains, R-A-I-N-E-S, at yahoo.com. And I answer just about every email that comes in, if I can find it through all the pornographic BS that the government sends me every day, and all of the spam. But I do all I can to help people. You have a question, you have a problem that you feel that a real estate broker, former United States Marine, an electronic engineer, an electrical engineer with 2 patents, I'm here to assist you. Things that I'm working on, a standalone electrical generator that runs the power around your house. The things I've worked on are TVSSs that help reduce and as well as protect your appliances in your home and reduce your electric bill from 10 to 20%. I'm here. I'll answer your questions. And I want to thank Don. There's a lot of Dons out there in my life, from the Idaho Observer to BBSRadio.com, and I wish to thank all of you for doing your fantastic jobs wherever you are on and off this planet. God bless you, Dan. Don.
Okay, Dirk. Oh, I mean,
I deserve that.
All right, well, thank you. Unfortunately, got to say goodnight, but you'll be with us again next week. I'll be on your show next Monday, so I'm looking forward to that. We're going to have plenty to talk about, I guarantee.
I'm not flying up to Ohio to be with you. I'll come on the phone. I'll come on the show, but I'm not going to fly to Ohio. It's too darn cold.
All right. You have a great weekend, and I'll be listening to your show tomorrow.
God bless.
All right. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Drew Malone Rains III. I'd like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Special thanks to Don Newsom for the sound tonight, and also Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. I'd like to thank Gail for her call-in and those folks sending us little emails and chat messages. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.